Hello again, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. Today, I'm happy to welcome filmmakers Helene and Kevin Lane. They work together as a creative team. Kevin is a producer, director, and DP, and Helene serves as a producer and story editor. Together, they specialize in capturing stories and crafting compelling content. Their award-winning work ranges from documentaries, a weekly TV series, to concert and comedy specials. In 2009, they first partnered with LA-based 455 Films and William Shatner and began to produce a series of Star Trek-based documentaries, including The Captains and For the Love of Spock. They have several projects currently in production, including contributing partners and co-directing a new Star Trek Voyager documentary and a film that explores the relationship between consciousness and the contact modalities, A Greater Reality, One Man's Journey of Discovery. Kevin and Helene, welcome. How are you today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to meet you guys in Laughlin and hear your amazing presentation. That's why you're here today, to give us a little bit of a teaser about what you're going to be presenting in Laughlin. So if you guys don't mind, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your digital storytelling for the new millennium, which is the title of your presentation.
Well, we've been putting content together for 15, 20 years now. Our focus turned from the music world towards documentaries in 2010, when we met up with 455 Films, David Zappone and William Shatner. So that was an exciting new chapter to our lives. And we started working with them and produced, I think we're on our 13th project now over the last 10 years, which is pretty crazy. But we've traveled the world, and really the basic things with Star Trek are pretty universal, right? They are really a higher consciousness to living. And there's so many people that have been influenced by this program. So when you travel the world and you're doing these documentaries, you're coming upon people that are like-minded people. And that is really that their minds are open to the possibilities of what life is and you know, things that we know about, things that we can prove, and things that we don't know about or that we can't prove. So in 2016, we met up with Ray Hernandez, who had just finished his book.
He was finishing, but he hadn't published yet. It's really a remarkable chain of events. We had gone out to California to work on these documentaries, and we had just come back to South Florida. And one day we got a phone call that a friend of ours had met someone that was summoning orbs, and did we want to speak to them? And we're like, okay, sure. Sounds cool.
Right, yeah.
And so we went to meet this young man, and he says, well, yeah, you know, I'm summoning orbs, but really what you want to meet is this guy, Ray Hernandez, because his story is what you need to hear. And I'm not sure that I've ever gone that long sitting still in one place listening to someone tell their story, but we were locked from the minute Ray started telling us. And the funny part is, having worked with Star Trek and having the resume that we did kind of was the calling card that Ray was looking for. He had been on this journey as an experiencer, and he had put together this book, and he was looking, he had been guided to find filmmakers that would tell the story for film, because he felt like his book, by the time he was done with this 500 pages, and he didn't know who was going to read it. And he knew the world we live is a visual, audiovisual world. And so, one, he recognized that we'd worked on Star Trek. We were bona fide filmmakers. And he was told it had to be people that had no ego, that that's what his guidance was, that the right people would come to him. And that was it. It was a match. He asked us if we would work with him. And it's been 5 years now. I counted up, working on our presentation. We've gone to 6 different cities filming with him. We have hundreds of hours of footage, and we're really excited to share the message of these interviews and what we've uncovered.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. And Ray is actually going to be one of the presenters there as well. So we get to all hang out together and see his presentation. So that's going to be such a great time.
The stories, you know, people's stories are remarkable. And you don't, you know, when we're, you know, it's one thing to hear about somebody who's got a story, but when you're sitting across from someone and they are, you know, recounting, you know, their experiences, and often experiencers have multiple experiences. You know, it's not just one time that something happened. It's multiple times. And so, you know, it is unbelievable to sit across and listen to some of these stories. And of course, we have our own experiences. We had one significant experience ourselves together. And Helene's really kind of been an experiencer for years. So for me, it was like relatively new, although I'd had some of these experiences in the past and I really didn't know what to make of them. But yeah, when you get a chance to sit across from Raymond Moody, it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really
and
cool.
Also, I think two of our experiencers are also coming to the con, and maybe you've spoken with, I know you spoke with Ruth Ann. I think she had some technology challenges, and Melinda is the other person that
I spoke with Melinda earlier today.
Kind of come out of the closet since telling us her story. And I got chills. When someone tells you, when a medical doctor tells you that they scooted their chair forward to let someone go by behind them, and no one else has seen them because they were ghosts. And she's a medical doctor telling us this.
Yeah, she had really tremendous stories. We spent the day with her, and she recounted, you know, several different stories that really actually it affected me because it changed my perspective on things. It kind of changed my perspective on life, to be honest with you. There was a big revelation there that I took with me, and I've really kind of never let go of it. And it really kind of made me appreciate life a little bit better and have an understanding of the honor that we have, each person that encompasses a physical form, that we have the right and the honor of experiencing things as humans on this planet, where we get a chance to experience love, challenges, hate, beauty, joy, frustration.
We're the planet of emotion, that's for sure.
Yeah, so very, very, very cool.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned Dr. Melinda Greer. I spoke with her earlier, and we were speaking about how a lot of these paranormal and UFO contact experiences end up being connected in some way. A person who's experiencing paranormal activity may also be experiencing UFO sightings or even abduction experiences. In your research and, you know, you're working with people, is this something that you found to be true as well?
Yes, absolutely. And I would say, I mean, I would like to, if I could, nominate Ray for a Nobel Peace Prize, because I think the download that he got, it's when you say it, it's like, oh yeah, of course that's what it is. What they told him is that they're called contact modalities and they're all pieces of the same wheel. So having a near-death experience, an out-of-body experience, a past life experience, a download, a scientific download, a shamanic journey, seeing your relatives when you go through the tunnel or seeing beings when you go through that tunnel, we don't know. We're finding out that a lot of scientists don't know, but they want to know. And I think that consciousness and the overarching theme is that I think religion and science got separated at the turn of last century and they needed to get back together. And consciousness is the key. Even with the vaccine, when I hear scientists describing it as a miracle, it cracks me up. Because why not? Why can't you have science and spirit? Why should they be separated?
Yeah, and that's another great thing about this conference is that we're bringing together people who are on the consciousness side, and we're bringing together people who are on the more science side and nuts and bolts side. So I look really forward to kind of seeing everybody's presentation and maybe getting a better piece of this bigger puzzle while we're there, you know?
It is. It's a big puzzle, and it's very fun to be on the journey of discovery for us. We're very grateful. Ray has really enriched and enlightened us and all the people we've met, the scientists. You know, it was very important for Ray that this film be grounded in the science. So for the first 3 years, we hardly spoke to any experiencers because he wanted to be sure we got the science right. And so now we've seen Ray come journey. Him, now he's loving light, and he's evolved, and it's been an honor for us to tell his story and everyone else's who's opened up to us.
Yeah, you know, the thing about this is that many people that we've spoken to for years never said anything to anybody, and if you look back on history, and some of the people that we've interviewed, you know, we'll talk about this in the documentary. You know, people that saw things in the past, you know, they went to doctors and the doctors thought that they were nuts, you know, and crazy. And, you know, not too long ago would potentially put them on medication because they thought that they were, you know, that they didn't see what they thought that they saw. And it was just, you know, a condition they were going through or whatever. So if you think about that, if you think about how many people for years and years and years and lifetimes had experiences, but were never able to share them because of fear of ridicule by others or, you know,
yeah, just, it could be centuries of that.
Yeah, I'm
sure. And that's why I think this conference is so important. And that's why I think we're really happy to be a part of it, because it gives people a platform, a safe place.
That's where I was going to, you know, just like Star Trek has its community, you know, and the conventions, you know, the Star Trek conventions, they have a community. It's a community of like-minded people that can share ideas and so on and so forth. This is the same thing. It's a community of people that are able to share their experiences
That are like-minded. It's true. It really is. Good job coming full circle.
Yes, and last year I went to last year's Laughlin Mega Conference, and that is the biggest takeaway that I left with is the sense of community that I felt there. Everybody, you know, the like-mindedness and everybody sharing their stories and accepting each other and being open to each other's experiences. That was the biggest thing for me, and I'm really looking forward to that again this year. Now, I want to thank you both for stopping by today. If people want to find out more about your films and some of the work that you've done, what's the best way that they can do so between now and the conference?
We have a website, acceleratormediagroup.com. We have a Facebook page. I think that would be the best.
Yep.
Facebook page is also Accelerator Media Group.
Or is it
acceleratormediagroup.com is the website. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Well, Helene and Kevin, thank you guys so much for coming by today. And I can't wait to meet you at the conference. And of course,
we look forward to seeing you.
Hello again, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. Today, I am here with Paul Stonehill. He is a former Soviet refugee, now a published American author, lecturer, TV consultant, and researcher of Eurasian phenomenon. Paul, welcome. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you too as well. And I'm looking forward to actually meeting you in Laughlin and hearing your presentation. I know you have a very interesting presentation surrounding the UFO phenomenon in Russia. Isn't that right?
Yes, Russia, Russian Empire, Soviet Union, and Russian Federation.
That's very cool. I'd love to hear a little bit about your presentation. Could you tell us a little bit about what you'll be presenting there in Laughlin?
Definitely. I want to present most important cases and also research conducted by the Soviet military intelligence services and information which was obtained by Soviet Navy specialized teams who were looking for USOs that had been bothering them, and something that, you know, still continues. They have their own research right now, different from the Soviet Union, but still ongoing. I like to present cases and observations by trained observers, like military, like I said, and academicians too. The Soviet Union, it was a totalitarian country. They had a different approach to UFOs and USOs, but at the same time, they were as concerned as the United States or China about uninvited guests.
That's very interesting. And, you know, us in the States, we rarely hear much about Russian UFO cases or, you know, phenomenon, paranormal phenomenon like that. When you started looking into this, did you find that there was, you know, many profound cases of UFO contact and UFO sightings in Russia?
Well, we didn't know much about the United States or anything that was happening abroad. And I started very early in my youth because I met somebody who had observed UFOs back in 1930s as part of the Soviet military in the Arctic. And I continued. There were ways to find out about UFOs and USOs, although the subject itself was forbidden. And the Soviet Union did its best to debunk it, and they used American debunkers to help them. And they did everything in their power not to let this information to come out, because UFO observers sometimes would see things they were not supposed to, like Soviet military tests in the sky. But at the same time, the government, the Communist Party, they were confused. They didn't know what was coming over their nuclear sites, entering Soviet waters and airspace. And they were hectic, too. Until finally, in the late 1970s, they established secret military programs I will speak about to study UFOs. And it's something that people in the West should know and pay attention, because USSR was the biggest country in the world in terms of land mass, with remote areas and the excellent history of UFO encounters and research well before the 20th century.
And another interesting aspect about your presentation I'm looking forward to is the USOs, or the underwater, unidentified objects. Whenever I hear about those, you know, there's so many fascinating aspects to it, like, you know, the speeds that they've been clocked at underwater and going in and out of the water without even, you know, making much interference with the water. It's defying the laws of physics. It's very interesting. And I think that's an aspect that we need to explore. Do you think that since there's been so many underwater UFO cases, that there's a possibility that we may be dealing with some kind of underwater bases?
Absolutely. And I will bring forward information which was revealed by Soviet cosmonauts who knew a lot of things, or at least one of them, and others. And my book, Russia's USO's Secrets, was published, written with Philip Mantle, and now published, I think, in 7 languages, including Russian, because they also want to know what had been happening and has been happening. It's incredible. The objects that had been sighted underwater, humongous size, this speeds, velocities were incredible. And of course, they had direct encounters and impact. And this was started, you know, we go back to the, beginning of the 20th century, but all the Soviet military encounters and what it was doing to their psyche, because they knew this was no Americans or NATO, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. And before I let you go today, I'd love to get your thoughts on what is actually happening now with American mainstream media, our Pentagon and government, all of a sudden releasing a lot of information about UFOs. I don't necessarily trust the information, but I'm paying close attention to it. I find it very interesting. I'd like to know what you think about it.
Well, I think that the time has come, and we don't know why, who is exerting pressure on the U.S. government to start releasing all this stuff. Of course, minimal information will be released. It could be like a decoy or a subterfuge to hide what's really interesting. And I will speak in my lectures about the interaction between the Soviet and the American government and how long it has been going on, and the very complex issue of UFOs and USOs. So I like it, I like the more information to come out, the better. But as a former Soviet citizen, I'm very cynical, and I don't trust too much what I see today.
Right. I can completely understand that. Well, Paul, thank you for stopping by today. If people want to find out more about you and your books and the research you've done, what's a good place that they can do so?
YouTube has my channel, constantly replenished, called Paranormal Research, Paul Stonehill.
Very good. Well, Paul, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you in Laughlin for your presentation, and of course, meeting all of you. We will see you all there.
Thank you.
This year's Laughlin UFO Mega Conference is going to feature over 36 scientists, researchers, and contactees. They're going to be presenting incredible disclosures over 7 days. You can now register for the full week, for half a week, or even by the day or session. And not only is there going to be over 36 amazing presentations, you're going to get a Skywatch, meet and greets, and exclusive film screenings. And there's always going to be only one presentation at a time, so you don't have to miss anything. And did I mention that there's no longer any mask mandates in Nevada? So you can now enjoy this amazing 7-day conference mask-free. Just go to their website, LaughlinUFOMegaConference.com, and register now. Last year's conference was absolutely amazing. This year's is going to be even better. So join us for an incredible 7 days of education and disclosure at the Laughlin UFO Mega Conference.